At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Scott Allen about the power of mediumship. Did you ever, this David individual, why him? Why was he drawn to you?
Interesting story. I have a neighbor who's a medium, and I didn't know she was a medium. I used to say hi to her all the time. And come to find out, we start talking. She's a medium. She works doing this all the time. So she says, oh, we should get together for coffee. And so we did. I went up to her home and we sat and we were talking. And she said, you're one of three, aren't you? I said, nope, it's just my brother and I. That's it. I just one brother, younger than me. No, there's three. I said, no, I don't think so. She says, well, did your mom ever lose a child? I said, no. I mean, and if she did, I think I would have known. My mom's kind of an open book. So I really think she probably would have said something. It's somewhere along the line. I'd never heard that before.
Sure.
She says, well, check with her because there's three. And she says, I'm getting a name. And she takes her fingers and she's like counting on your fingers. She says, who's the D name? David. And I went, what? I never told her about David.
Yeah.
So then I told her about David. She says, I think David's your brother. I said, well, what, you know, why? Why is he coming to me? Has he been hanging? She says, he knew you were going to be able to talk to him 50 plus years later. And he's been with you this whole time. And he just knows that you are there and wants to stay in touch. And he's going to be there for you to help you do all the things that you do. So when you're doing a reading or you're doing a gallery event, you can call on him. He's going to be there for you. So I say, I am not asking my mother if she lost a child.
Mom!
It's crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
But of course I did, because now I'm, you know, the curiosity got the best of me. And I called her up and I said, listen, I have a really strange question. Did you ever lose a child? She says, yeah, before you were born, about 9 or 10 months before you were born. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So, you know, I don't know. Obviously, it can't be proven, but it's fascinating.
Did you ask her if they had thought of names or anything, or if there was anything like that?
It was too soon.
Okay.
You know, that's according to her. It was too soon.
Okay.
To really have come up with a name. Yeah. So, and that was one of my questions. Why do we have a name? Maybe that's just the name he would have been. Maybe that's a name he gave himself. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who knows? This is all like spooky, hocus pocus. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really understand. You know, I do this and I don't understand it, but it's fascinating. I thought when someone opened up to mediumship, they did it as a child. They did it as a baby. I didn't think you'd feel like you were losing your mind.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff can make you feel like you're losing your mind.
Did you, I mean, when you're feeling like that, and especially initially when you're going through some of these experiences, did you ever like seek out mental health?
No.
Just to see?
I did not want to get locked up.
That's true.
Not at all.
That's true.
No.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen, this is funny because people will say to me, you know, you're out on an investigation and, oh my God, I told you I saw that black thing come across the ceiling. Well, did you get a picture of it? No, because I'm just trying to like adjust my eyes to figure out what I was seeing. I wasn't even thinking of my camera.
Sure.
It's like a UFO. You know, you don't think of like pulling out your camera to take pictures of the flying saucer. It's because you're just so in awe of what you're seeing. It was the same for me. I didn't really want to tell anybody.
Yeah.
I was unsure of what was happening, but if anybody thought I was crazy, I didn't need that. You know what I mean? I was going to keep that. I knew I wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't. Other than that, there was nothing else in my life that would lead me to believe, you know, I'm not having other hallucinations. I'm not having, you know, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just that I've got this David guy. And the thing is I was able to record him, Tony. If I wasn't able to record him, I would think it was just me.
Yeah.
But you know, if he's a a hallucination, other people shouldn't be able to hear him.
Sure.
So I started recording him and other people could hear him too.
Yeah.
And so, okay, there's something to this. And then, you know, once I talked to that woman and she helped me, I realized what it was. And, you know, I work with this shaman and she's helped me set up boundaries. And it's very, very different these days. I mean, generally I'm closed off unless I open it up. I've learned how to control it. But at the beginning, I didn't. And she went through a very similar thing. And they actually did lock her up for a while.
Gosh.
They put her in a psychiatric ward.
Yeah.
Because they thought she had lost her mind. And I'm so glad that I never told anybody at the time until I had it under control.
Sure.
Because I didn't even know what it was. I might have believed them if they said I was crazy.
Well, it makes you wonder a little bit too sometimes of individuals. I mean, obviously there are mental illnesses that are out there that certainly cause people to hallucinate and to present in ways that others could look at as going, well, that's pretty spooky. Same reason why 100 years ago they would have said, yeah, they're possessed or they got a spirit or whatever. Now today we don't necessarily go down that road so much, but you know, knowing what we do know in this world of paranormal, it does make you wonder a little bit about how often, you know, is someone who is locked away in a ward having something like that going on, or someone who's not locked away, someone who's walking the streets, say someone with a gun that wants to go kill a bunch of people. I've been wondering about that a lot lately, too, of just some of the... the mass stuff, but there's so many just, you know, incidents that are, you know, just tied to a single family. I do a true crime show too. And I'm baffled every single week when we're doing it by the level of depravity that human beings will go to, like to their own family members and things. It seems like it's off the charts right now. And it makes me wonder, you know, is this just that person or, you know, The one thing that seems to be kind of a little redeeming factor is at the end of the story where it says drugs were involved. It's like, okay, well, at least that kind of explains it. But when there's no drugs involved and this is just their normal everyday thinking, it's like, what the hell got a hold of this person or how did they get to this place to stab their children as their house is burning down or just all these horrible, horrible things? You know?
That guy that murdered his two beautiful little girls and his wife a couple of years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're really, truly crazy, do you question it? And by that, I mean, if you're sitting here thinking, I hope I'm not crazy because I'm having this, whatever it is that's happening to you.
Yeah.
You're probably not crazy. I don't know if crazy people think that they're crazy.
I don't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But at the same point, too, do people who are under the influence of something, now I'm not saying drugs or alcohol, I'm saying like, I don't possession, an attachment, something that is very negative that that is driving them in some direction. Are they aware of it either half the time if that's what's going on as well?
I will tell you this. I'm aware of a woman. I do not know her personally, but it brings me back to the S.K. Pierce mansion. It was owned by this couple who had always wanted to live in an old Victorian home. And when they moved in, the woman became, I guess, obsessed, for lack of a better word, with the house, and she wouldn't leave. And then it got to a point where she was almost in a catatonic state, and she was held down in her bed, and she wouldn't leave. The caretaker who's there now was friends with them, and they actually had to drag her from the house. As soon as she got outside, it broke. So she wasn't aware of any of that until she became aware outside of the house, and she would never go back into the house again.
Wow.
So you wonder, you know, when you're in that mode, in that frame of mind, do you really know? And I don't know if you do. I really don't know if you do. It's a little scary.
Yeah, because I don't think you could be aware of what you're doing when doing half of these things that you see. I just don't know how one could, but it's interesting. It's something I've been wondering about and just kind of getting opinions on over the last couple of months, just probably because I'm doing more of the true crime stuff, but it's just,
it's fascinating.
It feels like there's a tie in there that really, I think there's something to it, where it's not just, this is just a horrible person. It's like there's something more that's making these people more than what they're doing. Not in any way an excuse, but just trying to figure out what the hell is going on. What was going on in your mind, you know, when you had that experience where you helped David cross over and you were having this, you know, this kind of first time experience of going through that, when you stepped away from it, when it was done, were you like, oh my God, that was amazing, this is real? Or were you like, what you the know? Hell was that?
There was a little bit of that.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah.
But what was really odd to me. All right, so what you need to know is, as a funeral director, you learn to keep your emotions in check. You cannot sit there and cry with people. You can't.
Sure.
It's just not, you're not doing them any good.
Yeah.
I don't know David. All I know is he's been driving me crazy for months. Mm-hmm. When he crossed, there was two overwhelming emotions. One was joy. Like, oh my God, I just witnessed someone crossing over. Mm-hmm. And the other was intense sadness. I felt like I was losing a long lost friend. Now, those are two of the strangest emotions and feelings to have when you're going through this, especially for something that frightened you.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. It was a very strange emotional experience. I felt overwhelming love, and that is not something that I generally can say I am aware of, other than, you know, I love my son and, you know, but not in this way. It was very, very different. Mm-hmm. I did cross one other person over and I didn't get that feeling. This was a bad guy. And my friend Julie, her daughter was, she's very, very, very psychic and wants absolutely nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And she had this spirit that had been harassing her for quite a while. And sometimes he'd come and go, and then he'd be gone for a while. Then he'd come back and he'd been bothering her, and he's a shadow creature and just frightening her. And, I sat and tried to have a conversation with him, and you know, he seemed to be someone that was around back in the 1700s. He was an old spirit and seemed to like frightening her. But I was able to coax him into going up the staircase and leaving, and he's never been back. And it's been almost a year. So I think we did. But it didn't have the same emotional connection to it. There was no emotion. It was just, I'm glad you're gone. Boom.
Yeah.
Gone. I hope he's really gone. There was none of that. With David, it was very, very different. And, you know, and that may be part of the story of who he is as a brother, you know, that I just wasn't aware of at the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where some of that emotion comes from. But it was a very emotional experience, and something that I won't forget. It was just fascinating. And, you know, and at the time too, I was figuring all of this stuff out.
Sure.
Just learning about yourself.
When you started doing investigations, or maybe even further into investigations, mm-hmm. what have been some of the most compelling moments that you'd say you've come across where you've been able to use your abilities, whether you're encountering something good or something not so good?
You know, I have not encountered anything that I mean, you know, we've been to some places where you think, oh, this stuff here is not so good, but I don't think I've ever encountered anything that wasn't human. You know, I don't think, or that's untrue. Anything that was demonic. I do not believe I've encountered anything that was demonic or mm-hmm. evil in that way. But, you know, I've used my abilities on some investigations, and it's kind of funny. You know, we were, up at this castle in Vermont, and one of the guys I was investigating with had taken the REM pod and put it on the floor. And I was thinking, there's nothing there. And I walked in around the table, and I could feel this swarm of energy right around the table. And I said, put it over here, put it on the table. And as soon as he put it on the table, it went off, and it stayed. And it was, you know, we were able to communicate with it. Stuff like that still amazes me. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just amazing to me how I continue, how I'm able to do that and feel it. You know, you can tell how tall it is or how short it is or how wide it is. It's really fascinating that that is part of this gift that I have. And you know where they are. You can feel them.
Let me ask you to try and understand what it feels like. Is it like almost, is it 3D, like you're seeing these things, or is it more of a download of information where it's just the information is there?
What I've learned is it's different for everybody. So we all get it differently. There's subjective and objective information that we get, messages. Objective meaning outside the body. So very few people see spirit objectively, meaning they see it like I would see you if we were in the room.
Sure.
That happens, but it's not all that common. Most of the message we get are subjective, which is why it's so subtle. When we see a spirit, we see it in our mind's eye, mm-hmm. not in the room. So it's very easy to start questioning yourself. Am I really getting this or is it something else? But once you start doing for a while, you understand it. So when I get it, it usually starts out with this feeling. I call it just like I can feel the energy. I can feel it's as if have you ever seen those electricity balls and you put your hand near it and you could feel all that static?
Sure.
That's what it's like. For me, that's what I get. When I'm communicating with them and we've made a connection, I'll get that feeling super intensified right around my midsection. It feels like a hug. Mm-hmm. That's how they tell me that, okay, yes, what you're saying is correct. We are actually making this connection. Sometimes I have difficulty breathing. Like I can feel like, oh my God, like they're here. I can feel it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just presents itself. It presents itself differently for different people. I know Julie will get things differently than I do, but that for me is how it works. And then oftentimes they'll start giving me an image of who they are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's right down to the outfit. I had a reading kind of sporadically with, there's an actress, her name is Forbes Riley. I don't know if you ever heard of her, but Forbes Riley, she has her own podcast, but she's been on Home Shopping and Q, what is it? The other
QVC.
One. QVC. That's yes, it.
Not QAnon.
Not QAnon. Yeah, no, she's definitely not that. But she's no offense, QAnon people, if you're listening, but no, you don't know my address.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I had a chance to read her on the air, kind of spur of the moment. And it was fascinating because I was getting this woman that had come to me 2 days earlier before I even knew I was going to read her on the air. And I kept seeing her around. And it was so strong that I knew exactly what she was wearing. Her hair was pulled back in a ponytail. She had a baseball cap. The ponytail was coming through the loop in the back of the cap. She was wearing like yoga pants, workout attire, black hair. I picture it. So when she asked me to read her, you know, if you can you do it? And I said, sure. And there's this woman, and I relayed to her that information of what I was getting, and her jaw dropped. I remember telling her that, I'm getting this bell. What's with the bell? Mm-hmm. She said she died ringing her son's doorbell. She was at her house and the son wasn't home, and she was sick and she was trying to get in and she died right there at the porch.
Gosh.
And she had, so Forbes developed something called the Spin Gym, and she sells it. She sells it on QVC and Home Shopping Network. This woman had developed that with her, which is why she was in the workout. So all of that is part of the message, right? Mm-hmm. Why is she in workout attire? Because she's trying to tell me who she is. That's the connection that she had with this woman.
Okay.
And they were very close. So the interesting part of this is, so Forbes, and again, this is on the radio show. If anybody's interested, you can check it out. But it was really cool. She says to me, right before I asked you, or right when I asked you, I wrote down one name. Now, she had a son that died who was shot. Could have written his name. She could have written anybody's name. She wrote down this woman. Her name was Frances something or other. She wrote it down. That was this woman's name. And that's who was coming through. And so it was really an incredible connection that I made with her. And so she had me on her show. She had me on her podcast to do this again. And then all of a sudden I started reading for people like Hawaii and England and all over the place. And it was really kind of cool.
Sure.
How that happened. But you know, because I tend to wander, I don't know what the question was that you asked me, but there was something related to reading her, and it still just fascinates me. We're talking about how we get our messages. And so sometimes they're with me for a few days, sometimes they're not. You know, sometimes I'm getting stuff that seems so outlandish that I think that can't possibly. This is why I think sometimes I could have missed stuff, you know, like maybe I was getting messages 25 years ago and I just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember doing a gallery event to raise money for a theater, and I'm in the theater and I am not going to say this. Mm-hmm. And I finally said, oh, the heck with it. You know, look, there's a horse here. There's a horse running around the theater and I'm seeing it is running around the theater. And I said, I'm getting a P name with it. P. This guy in the front row raises his hand. Yeah, my horse died. He was a Pinto. I said, well, he's here. He's running. I mean, you know, it's stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't understand it. And it's crazy, you know, but you learn to trust it after a while. And I don't, you know, like I said, we all get it differently, but You start to recognize it a little bit more when you've done it for a while.
Has there ever been a situation where you're reading, giving a reading to somebody and you're on with, you know, who they are and such, but you know, it's going beyond, there's like a message coming through that the person on the other side wants to get across. But let's say the person on the living side is unaware of, and it's almost one of those, next on Maury. And then it's one of those like crazy family things that nobody knew about, but the dead person is finally letting it out. Have you ever had a moment like that where you really kind of shocked somebody by, like, surprise, your father
you don't know it at the time.
Yeah.
You don't know it. Cause they'll say, oh, no, that doesn't mean anything to me. Okay. Sure. We're moving on. And then you'll get an email or a call or a text a day or two later. And you'll realize, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. You know, you mentioned the dog and my mother said that was their dog when they were little and you just, you know, so you get stuff like that all the time. It's fascinating. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, it's family. I solved this sort of genealogical mystery. So I have cousins that I met through genealogy. So we did not grow up together. They are related, but I don't really know them all that well. I've only been in their presence once.
Sure.
But her husband found out through genealogy that his dad was not really his dad. That was the big aha. And that his brother and sisters were only half, which shocked everybody. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? So they went on this DNA search to find family. They narrowed it down to these seven brothers or five brothers. Mm-hmm. And so she asked if they could have a reading and, see if the mother's going to say anything. And the mother said nothing. I mean, she sat there with her mouth closed and her legs and arms crossed and she wasn't going to share anything.
Yeah.
She says, well, do you think maybe if you saw a picture? And I said, I don't know, maybe. At that moment, I got this picture of my uncle in my head. Now, my uncle had a beard, always had a beard. And I was getting this, you know, my sign for the Navy or the seaman like that is usually an anchor. So I said, I'm getting two things. I'm getting an anchor and I'm getting a beard, like full beard. And I said, does anybody in this picture is anybody in the Navy or do they have a beard? No to both. I said, well, I don't know. All right, well, send me the picture. So she sends me the picture and I'm like, well, the guy in the middle is in the Navy. Oh yeah, son of a gun, he is. But he didn't have a beard. She says, it's not him anyway. I know because it wouldn't have been the right time or something or other. Mm-hmm. But I said, what's his name? And she said, that's Danny. Danny is my uncle's name. I said, well, that's it because they're giving me his name, not the beard. I was thinking it was the beard, but they were giving me the name, Danny. Mm-hmm. Navy, Danny, that's him. Nope, they wouldn't believe it. Wouldn't believe it. They went through genealogy for all the other brothers and finally figured out after it was all done that it was Danny. Danny was his father biologically. And so, you know, solving that little mystery was kind of cool. Sure. You know, it's just fascinating.
It's amazing what some of the genealogy and DNA things are revealing. I mean, in terms of criminals being caught years later, which I think is really kind of awesome. And it's also got to be, I was thinking of this the other day, very unsettling at a family Christmas gathering where everybody's there and then somebody's like, and guess what? I bought everybody DNA kits. And then like the person who's like the uncle off in the corner that's always been kind of weird, in reality has killed 7 people. And, and it's like, oh shit, everybody's going to get their DNA and I'm done now. Who would have ever thought like this is how they're going to catch me?
That's how they're going to find me. Exactly. It's true.
And for that too, because there was so much of that where it was just never talked about in older generations of, well, so-and-so, you know, couldn't conceive a child. So, you know, this happened or they adopted this cousin, or there was a lot of that shit that went down. And sometimes it's talked about and the things that are talked about, I'm kind of like, really? Why did they do that? They're like, well, just what they wanted to do at the time. And now it'd be considered somewhat crazy. But that and then, you know, the pregnancies and whose baby is who. I mean, people have been people forever. So you got to figure, you know, just this warm, cuddly view that we have of some of the older generation. It's like, oh, look who was a hoe.
Yeah, they had the same issues we have. They just didn't talk about it.
Exactly. But it's kind of amazing how all that comes together. And then more so to confirm things like that, like where you can pull this information and otherwise it would have just been written off forever as, well, that's not accurate. Like, no, turns out it was. You just didn't have the right information.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't know that you're accurate until they tell you that you were accurate. So, you know, maybe I got it wrong. You know, I don't know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? We're not perfect. It certainly isn't a science at all. I mean, you feel like you're getting this image and that's it. But it proves me right more often than not, which is really kind of neat.
That wraps up the second part of our conversation with Scott. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his experiences with us on today's program. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.